Good morning.
Good morning.
Father God, may that truly be the cry of our heart, that we would hear your voice this morning, that you will speak to us as you have already spoken to us through song. Father, that we might be in tune with that what you have to speak. And so, Father, I pray that the words that I speak are going to be your words and that they will be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to, it's just exciting for me. You know, I did not have any communication with these folks that were in the worship team this morning, nor actually was I in touch with anybody in the church. And yet, you know, the Holy Spirit does work in marvelous ways. And the songs you have chosen are very well and very much in line with the message that God has given me. And Gerald and my wife will come up a little bit later on for this congregation today to know God more and more, to hear the sound of his voice, to know him intimately, not just to know about him, but to know him and be acquainted with him. I want to read from, first of all, from Psalm chapter 9. I'm going to read just verse 9 and 10. Psalm chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. It says, "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Another version says, "They know who know your name, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, who inquire of you." Those who seek the Lord, those that inquire of the Lord, will not be forsaken. Sometimes, perhaps at times of trouble, there's circumstances, there's situations around us, and we wonder, where is God in all of this? God, why did you let this happen? When I was reading a book, it was based on this verse where it says in verse 10, "Those who know your name," the author said this. What this word name means is those who know what kind of God God is. Those who know what kind of character God is. And as I thought about that, I said, well, that really does throw a whole different light on it. We reread it and we say, well, those who know your name. And there are different names of God that we know. And we'll be talking about those a little bit today. But when you put a different emphasis on it that says, those who know what kind of God God is. You know, I was thinking back to Adam and Eve, way, way back, the beginning of time, as far as we know time. And they had a concept, they had an idea, they knew who God was because God had made them, God had created them, and they lived in this Garden of Eden, and they were made in the image of God, and they had everything around them that they needed, and far more than what they needed. And they had it there, they knew who God was until the devil came along and said, "Do you really know who God is? You know, did he really say that?" And so a doubt came into their minds and they said, "Oh, wow, do we really know? Is that really who he is?" And I think that at times, and I know I have in my life, I've come to the place where it's like, well, God, you said this. You said you'd look after us. We sang the song about being a rock in our times of trouble. And yet all I am is surrounded by trouble and you don't seem to be doing anything about it. Unless we know what kind of God God is and what kind of character he is, we cannot put our trust in him. You know from yourself, the people that you know, if you are going to trust them, you want to know something about them. You do not say to a stranger, "Well, here, I'll give you all my money. Would you go and put it into the bank for me?" I don't think you'd do that. I know I wouldn't. Because I wouldn't know him. I wouldn't be able to trust him, even though he'd said, oh yeah, you can trust me. And perhaps we've heard that phrase a few times where we say, oh, you can trust me. And sometimes that has not worked out exactly that way. But God says, I am a God that you can trust. So our concept and our thoughts of God need to be, we need to know about him. We need to know more and more about him. Scripture tells us a lot about God. I was reading in John 17. I want to go to chapter 17 in the Gospel of John. You know, Paul was one that said, and his words are recorded in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know you, know God, more and more. Now, here was a man that had spent a great deal of time with God, with the Lord. Preached the gospel. And you would think, well, he knows everything there is to know. And yet, he says, it's not enough for me. I want to know you more and more. And I'm going to jump back to Moses. Moses was a man who was a leader of the tribe, the people of Israel. And he had been leading the people of Israel for some time. And then he said to God, God, now that I've found favor in your sight, because it does say in Scripture that Moses was a friend of God. He said, I found favor in your sight. Well, show me your glory. Show me the way. Because if you don't go with me. And so God showed him his goodness. He told him, I will go with you and I will give you rest. But it wasn't enough for Moses. Moses says, I want to see your glory. I want to see more of you. He had a hunger. He had a desire to know more about God, same as Paul did. He wanted to know God more and more. In John chapter 17, what is it about his name? And that's where I want to focus on a little bit today. John chapter 17. The words, this is Jesus speaking the high priestly prayer. He says, I have manifested your name, meaning God's name. I have shown your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. I have shown them, I have told them who you are. I have shown them to you. That's what the word manifest means. I have revealed you to the ones that you have given me. I want to go down to verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, Jesus says, but they are in the world and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. And I always thought this was referring to the disciples that God had given to Jesus, but it's not. I realize as I read this, and sometimes I think our English language isn't really the best with all its different commas and different places that shouldn't maybe be there. I'm not very much of an English scholar, but sometimes it confuses me, quite honestly. It says, I keep them in your name which you have given me. So God gave Jesus his own name. And I said, wow, the name of Jesus. You know that the name of Jesus means salvation? It means deliverance. It means wholeness. And I know there's some other things that it means. You look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and I see the banners here. For unto you a son is given, and this is what his name is going to be. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. That's the name of Jesus. That's the name of the Father. That's what the Father gave to Jesus. There's one missing there. It says Mighty God in there as well. So they have the same name. And so when we look at Jesus, we should know what God is like. I never used to think about that at all. I just thought, well, Jesus is Jesus and God is God and the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. But they are all one. If you read in John chapter 14, it says, I and the Father are one. Jesus says, I only speak those things that the Father tells me to speak. I only do those things that the Father tells me to do. They are one. Jesus is the one that revealed the Father to us, to the disciples, to those people around that were there. But he is revealed to us through his word. So Jesus, if you look at the character of Jesus, what was Jesus like? And Geraldine gave me a phrase just yesterday. We were talking about this. And she said, Jesus painted us a picture of what the Father is like. So visualize a picture. You know that Jesus was like the Father, and he showed us what the Father is like. He revealed that to us. What are some of the names that things that Jesus said he was? He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you read in the Old Testament where God was speaking to Moses and to the people of Israel, he said, my name is I Am. So everything that Jesus said about himself is true of the Father, because they are one. There's another one that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. Talks about protecting the people, the sheep. Jesus protected the disciples by the power of his word. He was looking after them. The sheep knew his voice. They knew exactly who their shepherd was. And you know, we can know Jesus. We can know who he is when we receive him into our hearts, when we receive him into our life. He is a shepherd that watches over us. He protects us. I like what one version says about John 17, 11. I'm going to go back there. And it has to do with really being a shepherd as well. In another translation, John 17, 11 says, O Holy Father, maintain a watchful care over them in your name which you have given me. Watch over them. Keep them from the evil one. That's what the Father does. That's what Jesus does. And Jesus said, I am leaving this world. I'm coming to you, Father, but they're still going to be here. And so, Father, I want you to watch over them. I want you to maintain a watchful care over them. In another place, Jesus' words are, cast your burdens, cast all your cares upon me. Kind of takes away the saying when people say to me, take care. And I say, no, you know what? I really have somebody that takes care of me. I do. Am I careful in the things I do? Yes, that's true. But the Father is the one that takes care of me. He is the one that will take care of you as you put your trust in him. Circumstances and situations may not always be exactly what you like. But I have to tell you, God doesn't like some of those bad situations either. We say, well, God, why did you let this happen? And I say, you know what? God is the one that is going to maintain a watchful care over you. He watches you. And so, Jesus says, keep them in your name, the name that you have given me. He's a good shepherd. There are other names of Jesus. And I'm going to ask my wife, Geraldine, to come up and share some of those names of Jesus, of the Father.
Can I have this too?
Yeah, I don't know. Is this one on?
Shall I take this one?
Sure. Let's see. Here, we'll pull this down. Do we okay there? Okay.
Is it on?
Yep.
There are seven redemptive names of God, and I'll just quickly list them. Jehovah Shammah, which is the Lord is there. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nissi, our victory. Jehovah Tsidkenu is our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha is our healer. Jehovah Rohi is our shepherd. So all these names tell us about the character of God. They tell us what he wants to do for us in our lives. And any one of them, if you stop and think about them a little while, is you know, just really bring you some light into your life about the Father. So Dave said earlier, you know, he said it a little differently, but this is the way I read this. Jesus came and drew us a picture of God, and now we know what he looks like. In Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus was the express image of God. He was just like a mirror image of God, and he came down onto to the earth to show us what the Father was like. So if you ever want to know about what the Father is really like, then you can spend some time reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at the ministry of Jesus and see what he did. What did he do wherever he went? It says that Jesus went about doing good in Acts 10:38. Everyone turn to Acts 10:38, please. Acts 10:38, talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So this is one of my favorite scriptures because, you know, there it is in a nutshell. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. So he was manifesting the will of God on the earth, and it was to heal. And so that is kind of the name that I want to focus on just for a couple minutes here, is that Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is the one who heals us. Now, you know, we can need healing in lots of different ways. We can need healing in our bodies. We can need healing, and that, you know, people can see that usually, that, okay, unless it's an inward thing. But even your mannerism, when you're sick, you're kind of, you know, you just don't have a lot of vitality and strength. But there's also the kind of sickness that's a mental torment. And so Jesus wants to set people free from physical diseases. He wants you free from mental torment. He wants you free from anything that brings oppression to your life, that brings you down. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's hard to be joyful when you are being oppressed by the enemy, when you're sick in your body, when your mind is troubled. It's hard to be joyful. And yet God has called us to joy. So Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, I am the God who heals you. Even in the Old Covenant, in Exodus, he talked about healing. Romans 8:11 said, "The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me and quickens my mortal body, brings life and strength and vitality to my body." In Matthew 12, it talks about how Jesus went about and healed them all. He said great multitudes were following him. Now, great multitudes, in your mind, I don't know what that is, but it's a lot of people. And so these people were following him, And it says he healed them all. I like the word all, because it doesn't leave anything to the imagination. It just says all, and Jesus healed them all. Then in Matthew 15, again, a great multitudes came to them, to him, and he healed them. They saw the dumb speak, the maimed whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified God. It brings God a lot of glory when the will of God is manifested on the earth. In John 3, 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil." There was a leper that came to Jesus one day, and he said, "If you are willing, please make me whole." And Jesus looked at him and said, "I am willing, be whole." And he was cleansed of his sickness, of his disease. So this morning, we asked the Lord for a word for this church body, because every church body is different. Every church body has its own needs. And just what I'm getting in my spirit is just this tremendous sense of the Lord saying to you, "I am good, I love you, I want to bless you, I want to heal you, I want to bring restoration in your families, and I want you to get to know me better. I want you to walk with me, I want you to talk with me. And I want you to know that I love you very much. I love you with no limits, with no conditions. Just remember always, he's saying to you that he loves you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants you strong, healthy. He wants you prosperous spirit, soul, and body. He only wants good for you." In Psalm 145, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is good to all." And I think, is everybody out here part of all? We're all part of all. The Lord is good to all.
Psalm 31:19. It says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." So God has stored up his goodness for you. It's available. He is full of goodness. He is full of love. Matter of fact, God is love. So when you say, "For God so loved the world," you might say, "For love so loved the world." Because God is love. And you can put your trust in him. He is a rock in times of trouble. He is someone that you can depend on all the time. Because, as Gerald said, he loves you very much. And he wants you to know that. And you, as you get to know him, if you have a desire and a passion to know God, you know what? He opens up the doors for you to know him more and more. God is someone, he is a God that wants to have fellowship with you. What is your image of God? It is one that perhaps God sits up there, high up in heaven somewhere, and he sits as a judge? Or is your image of God one of a loving father that visited this earth in the form of Jesus, in the form of man, so that we could be redeemed and that we could experience life, a new life, not just our physical life, but a life that is beyond what we live here. And you can experience that today. You experience his love and his grace and his mercy, because his grace is available to you all the time. And he loves you beyond what you can imagine. He wants to have fellowship with you, and he says, "Come to me, come to know me, and I will show you great and wonderful things." He will show himself to you. Do you want to add something?
Mm-hmm. You know, it said several times in the Bible that Jesus was moved with compassion. And compassion is this deep sense that comes from way within a person and feels the pain of another person, feels the sadness of another person.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus had tremendous compassion in his ministry. And whenever he had compassion, something happened. He didn't just have compassion and then the person went on the same. Jesus acted. He offered something to that person. And I believe that out of his compassion today, that Jesus and the Father would want to offer you some things this morning. You know, if you have a gift, someone has a gift, and they give it to you, the polite thing is that you receive the gift, mm-hmm. right? Now, you know, I don't have a problem receiving a gift. I like presents. So, you know, Dave's not going to bring a present to me and I'm not going to put it away somewhere and say, well, thanks, put it on the shelf. No, I'm like, oh, a present, yay. Let's see what's in that present. Rip that paper off, you know. I used to carefully take the paper off, you know, like just carefully take it off and bit by bit. But, you know, hey, let's just get it all off. So there we go. Rip it open and see what's in there and celebrate the gift. Well, you know, there's something. I believe that the Father wants you to unwrap today. I believe he has a present for everyone who came today.
Amen.
Everyone who came. You know, do you have some area that you need some encouragement? Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you need some healing in your body. Maybe you need some joy. Maybe you need some wisdom from God. What is it that you need? Well, you know what? That's the package he wants to give you this morning. And so I would encourage you right now, just inside yourself, to say, I receive that present you have for me today, Lord. I'm receiving that gift. How many of you like presents? A few, yeah, come on. Yeah, most people do. So here it is today. God has a gift for you. Will you take that present? Will you open it up and say, thank you, Lord, thank you for this gift? Because it's good. He's got something good for you today.
Receive the gift. I like Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you make known to me the path of life. When we want to know God more and more, when we have that desire, he shows to us a path of life. And it says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. He will be my path when I stay in his presence. And so you can walk along that pathway. And as Geraldine has said, he has a present for you. He has a gift for you. It may be just a gift of peace. It may be a gift of joy. Are you kind of feeling downhearted today? And you look to God and say, God, I need some joy. And you know what? He says, I've got an abundance of joy for you. And he never runs out of anything. Just because he gives you some joy today doesn't mean to say he's got to go and create some more joy. It stays the same. He has life for all of us. I thank God for each one of you. I pray that you will have a passion to know this God that loves you, cares for you. He maintains a watchful care over you as you seek to know him more and more, that you will understand him more and more and be blessed by walking in his presence. That's our prayer for you. In Jesus' name.